Is this good for you tonight? I want to read these scriptures to you. I want this to connect together. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known that he was their Savior, had they known of that propitiation, they wouldn't have beat him. But there was something that was in them that made them to think differently. And that's the same spirit that is attacking this world today. They not only want to throw Christ out of everything in life, but they want to take that whip and beat it on you. They want you to feel bad. They want you to feel degraded. They want you to feel worthless. But I'm glad I'm not worthless. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. It's talking about the answer. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Hear this verse, those of you. For what man knoweth the things of a man, saith the spirit of a man that is in him? How can you know what to tell your neighbor unless you pray and have the anointing on you? What good is your advice when you were just as much of a failure in some point as somebody else was? What good does it do for us to judge anybody? Friend, I would recommend that you pray for them. If you've got a moment to talk about somebody, you've got a moment to pray for them. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but what? The spirit which is of God. That's why he said he created us to be separate, to be different. It's because he gave us a different spirit when he saved us. He took the spirit that we were, cleansed it to make it the spirit that we are. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Maybe you're wondering when that next door is going to be opened. Maybe you're seeking for what I should do in the next chapter of my life. Maybe you're wondering if this next job, this next opportunity, this next appointment, this next date, this next thing is something that you need to go forward in. But telling advisors, legal counsel, therapists, psychologists will not be as effective as it can be if you seek for the Spirit of God. You know how you do that? The denial of self. You give up your half hour that you'd watch your TV show. And you get down. Yeah, I said it. I didn't say throw your TV away. I said turn it off and pray every now and then. I didn't say turn your phone off and not walk with a phone. I said put it down and pray sometime. If we hear this tonight, if you already had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you already had his presence in you as he created you, then the answer is already within you. The answer is already within you. And when it is his will for you to know it, it is revealed. The Bible talks about what pleasure it is as one that would seek for a hidden treasure and to find it. What wonder it is to have God's will for you revealed. We sought the Lord over where we should live. He led us. I've sought the Lord over whether to take trips. He's led us. There's been times that we've planned to go somewhere. The Spirit said, nay, and we stayed home. There's been times when our will had set forth to do a different thing, but God is telling us to stop and to wait. The hardest thing to do is not just to hear it, but it's to change our will to be with his will. Because his will is that you would not perish. But what we often choose leads us to our own demise. Broad is the way. Many are those that will tell you that you need to get your revenge. Many are out there that tell you that you don't got to praise God like everybody else is. They're crazy. What's the matter with you? Many are out there that would tell you to be different than what God has called you to be. But narrow, but few, is the way that leads to life. There's 100 churches in town. Probably only 2 or 3 out of the 100 are getting into the true will of the Father. Churches are saying, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, we'll pray with you in this other room. We've got a program to keep. We got 2 songs to do, handshaking to do. We want to make sure we keep our tithers happy. We don't want anybody to leave that's giving us their money. But what good does it do to have everybody to pay all your bills if nobody's getting saved? What good does it do to have the grandest of programs but having nobody delivered when they come in bondage? The biggest problem that I see is that the world has lost their trust in the church. There are people that still believe God is able, but they don't believe in the church. Because you know what they see when they come to church? Just another program that they've got to go to. Just another little thing that they've got to participate in before everybody comes around and finally accepts you for who you are. But God, when He saved you, He took everything that you were and made you something new. And there's no click in that. There's no program there. That doesn't mean that you can't plan out to do 3 to 4 songs and move on. You don't have to beat something to death before you realize it's time to move on. If you pray and seek the will of the Father, as you know His Spirit, He will lead you to be where you need to be. If you just go where there's a lot of people, chances are you may never get reached. If you go where it's too dignified, when God wants you to finally let loose, you're going to look kind of silly. God has a place for everyone. But no matter where you go, there's still going to be a wilderness ahead of you. But the answer is not revealed until we learn to push off the things the devil brings. You see, Satan, if he had Christ to bow, then that would have been having God to bow. And when you bow with what you know is real, to them that know and to not do it, to them it is sin. Oh yeah, we're going to go in a little bit more. Some of us might drown on this one, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you have breath, you have praise. And if you have legs to stand, you have a reason to stand. And if you've got hands, then you've got a reason to lift them high. If you've got a voice, if you've got a windpipe and you've got air, then you've got a reason to let something out instead of kindly reserving a whisper. God said, cry out. If you've got a tongue, He wants to move it. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost would teach concerning spiritual things with spiritual. Our problem is we try to inject carnality at the moment when we need to rebuke temptation, because by doing that, we bring the word justified into the mix. Well, I feel bad, so I'm justified to have this beer tonight. And when I go back to church on Sunday, the Lord will understand. Anybody that's ever tried that would definitely testify they didn't get up with any kind of excitement to praise God. If you do something like that, the only thing you can do is hold your head down because you know you've wronged. Here it comes. So how are we going week after week after week and not getting deeper in the things that will cause the devil to tremble? If we want to come and just entertain, you'll make people's ears to be tickled. But when they go out, the sin will be just as tempting as it was before they ever came. If we can't equip people with the ability to say no to the devil, then we as a body are not doing our job. It is unreasonable to expect a sinner all by themselves to find salvation. That's why God has you here. He called us to be witnesses. He called us to help people find the answer within themselves. I didn't have anybody come peck me on the shoulder and say, brother, I think you're called to preach. As I grew up in God and changed more of my life, He showed me, not in a vision that I literally saw audibly in front of me, but He showed me in my thoughts, me preaching. He showed it to me before I ever realized what it meant. I'd sang all my life, played music all my life, and sure wasn't ready for that kind of thing. And I ran from it at first, as most of us typically do, questioning ourselves, questioning if we can even do it. Maybe you're looking at some of the things God has called you to do, and you're right there right now. But when I finally took my fear and gave it to Him, He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind. Sound mind causes you to have the ability, when people tell you, hey, let's go party, to know better. It causes you, and this is what I have to deal with, when you've got an entire floor of 200 plus people cussing up and down, to not say anything of that garbage, to not give in to their opinions, to not just agree with whatever they're talking about. It causes you to know, and for them to see, that there's something different in you. Bear in mind, when Jesus went down, when he was anointed with power, you know what he encountered? He encountered his very people, his neighbors, his city that he was brought up in. But yet they did not receive him well. When you are anointed with a cause, guess what? You're not going to be received well. That's the reality. Because if you didn't need to be anointed to go do great things, he wouldn't give it to you before you went. But he gives you anointing to provoke your cause. I'm here tonight to preach. I know that it's not always received by everyone, but I know that if I get to just one, it makes it worth it for me. Because I've got other things I've got to deal with in this life that you can't help me with. But the one thing I have that we share together, if you know Christ, is the ability to push away when the enemy comes. I can't get that out of my spirit. If he is in you, then you have what is greater than him. If it is in you, then you have what is greater than him. Let's finish this up. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Have you ever met anybody that talked really bad about church people? Thought they were crazy? Made you feel like that you were crazy just because you went to church with them? I've had people shun me just because I went to a different church. I've had doors and appointments and opportunities closed just because they saw a change on the sign of the door. What kind of world are we in where we think we're good enough to reject our own? But it is he that spiritually judgeth all things. The Spirit does. You don't have to. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to. God takes care of it. He sees the wilderness. He sees the battle. He sees the struggle. You don't have to fight for it. He fights your battles for you. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's how I got here today. That's how I made it through another week. Because I don't have to fight this fight on my own. I have him with me. I don't have to struggle by myself, but I have him with me. I can't get this out the way that God has it in me, because sometimes words can't even contain the substance of what God has for you. Friend, if you could only see that you have the answer. All that God is wanting is these things that cause you to stumble. He doesn't want you to walk and always stumble. The more that you walk and stumble, the less that you will be willing to walk again. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the same mind that said it is written, the same mind that quoted the scripture just like we can. He didn't quote something that wasn't unwritten. He went to the same source that we have to read today. And if you can just get a little bit of the presence of God in you and mix it with the word, then the enemy must tremble. 8 more verses and I'm finished. John 16 verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you, say that, things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine. Glory to God. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, if you can keep it, ye shall also, what? Continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of these things, and is truth to you, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. That means you'll have the same power that God gave to all the prophets of old. The same power that caused David to slay Goliath. The same power that caused the man, the prophet, to say, "Can these bones live?" The same power that caused kings to be raised up. The same power that has anointed the blind to see. The same power that has caused the dead to be raised. I know we're tired and worn out, but I'm closing up right now, and I'm here to tell you the temptations are coming. They're not always just behind you. There's going to be new things spring up, and the Lord is trying to get you prepared and warning you for what is out there. The world is only getting worse. The world is only getting worse. The world is only getting worse, and we better be ready when it comes time to take a stand, because there'll be people looking at you like they did with Peter that denied the very presence of Christ. How could you deny somebody that is taken into captivity? If your brother, your sister was taken into captivity, how could you say that you don't know them? How could you deny that you had no knowledge of them, that you weren't that person? How can we do that? When we give in to the tempter, you give in to fear. When people look to see, aren't you the prophet that goes to that church? Aren't you that evangelist? Oh, I go to church there. I sing sometimes. I think I teach. I don't know. I mean, I'm up there, and we get so afraid to let people know exactly who we are. But the very thing that you hold back on when the world needs to see Christ in you the greatest is the very thing that you need to have to win the battle. He said, don't put it behind a bushel. Spoke it in another parable and said, don't bury it in the ground. Don't hide who you are. Let God mold you. Be a person that is willing to be anointed. I'm not talking about having just the Spirit on you, but willing to receive His Spirit. Willing to take more steps for Him. The saints of God I grew up with, they're almost all gone now. Most of them are old and feeble and not able to praise the Lord like I grew up and saw them do. And I miss that. I miss hearing somebody sing and tears flowing all over the house. I miss somebody getting up and singing something from the bottom of their heart. I'm so weary of coming and going through the motions and just half-heartedly thinking that what we're doing is good enough. I'm so tired of giving in to temptation. I'm so tired of feeling like I'm justified. I'm so tired of letting myself feel less than what I've been called to be. And it's time that we line up to this. If you want an answer, you want to walk out of the wilderness an overcomer, you've got to be willing to stay there long enough to have it revealed. You want to get this the short way, you want to hurry it up, I can't guarantee that you'll be happy when you get there. There's some people that think if we're there with this person and they leave this other person, that they'll be happy. But friends, the lust of temptation is only for a season. And eventually, the sparkle of its appeal is gone. And you are only left with the inevitable end of destruction. I don't want anybody in this place to make hell their home. But unless you know Christ, when this stuff comes up tomorrow, you're not going to be ready. God's will was that we would walk with Him eternally. To do that, we must have a relationship with Him. We must be saved. We must be saved. We must be saved. We gotta know in whom we believe. My Lord, if we know in whom we believe, we've got to start growing up and letting Him fill us up. Because we might look old. I know I do. I've got bags here I didn't have 5 years ago. I've got wrinkles that are coming up and creeping up in the corners. I like to call them lines of wisdom. But inevitably, it's age. My metabolism's not what it used to be, and I retain things a whole lot more and can't continue to credit it to water weight. It is a part of me whether I want it to be or not. But when this body's done, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, this is what I'm talking about. You might be taken unexpectedly in your sleep. You might not even have another chance to consciously ask for salvation. And the Lord wants you to make that choice today. Today is the day of salvation. And for those of you that know Him, it's more dangerous for us because we know of Him. That's why it said to the unbeliever, it's not an offense, because they don't know. But those of us that know and sit back and just expect it to happen like it did when we were saved by mercy, it don't work like that. Because the whole principle of the ministry of Christ was based on reciprocity. What will you give for what you get? He received the power of God to save the world, and He gave it. You've received the salvation of the Lord to help others to be saved. You've received His anointing that others would know of healing, deliverance, wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit, are what you give out of what God has given you. And a church with no gifts, are you ready? Is a church without prosperity. Churches that only do 3 or 4 of the gifts and not all are unfulfilled. You'll find that you'll have tons of prophets but no pastor. When you have an imbalance in the mix of what a house of God should truly be, we miss out. Jesus said that this should be a house of prayer. Because you know what prayer does? It brings unity. Prayer brought forth the day of Pentecost, did it not? Prayer will save your soul. If the Lord has spoke to you through the sermon, all that He asks for us to do is to come and believe, to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness and believe that He died for us. And if you'll do those things, you can have salvation, eternal life, and a brand new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I was 8 years a drug addict, and the moment I surrendered my life to God, I'm like 8.5 years free now. I'm 8.5 years with all that behind me. I'm a brand new man, a brand new creature. He took all that I was and made it to be something better, and that's what the Lord wants to do for you. He wants to take that which would have been for your detriment. That's what salvation is. It takes that which was for your detriment and works it for your good.